So the title of this sermon is The God with Everything Has Kept Nothing Good From You.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Let's open in a word of prayer. Gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, Holy King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God, we have gathered in this place to worship You, to praise You, to acknowledge that You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that there is no other God but You. And God, as we have sang to You, we have felt Your presence in this place, Lord, now we're going to open up Your holy word. And Lord, we ask that You would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, that You would speak from heaven, Lord, that we would hear from Your throne, Your word, Lord, and that we would not leave here changed, but we would leave here with a new understanding of who You are and what You have for us. And God, we give You all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. How many of you guys just absolutely love the Christmas season? I do. I absolutely love it. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. When I see the tree, I think of Jesus. When I see the lights, I think of Jesus. When I see the gifts, I think of Jesus. So I love all the things, and they all point me right back to Jesus. So as we do celebrate this season, it is all about Him. And there are many ways that we get gifts and give gifts, and we're going to talk about some gifts that we've been given today. But have you ever met anyone and it's like, man, that person's hard to shop for? Like, they have everything. There's people like that. Like, they just have everything. Well, sometimes it's the littlest things that will just touch someone. And, you know, Pastor Jerry sent me a text on Friday, and I'm going to read that text. And it touched me. It changed the whole outlook of my day. I started smiling, and I didn't stop. And it was just a simple text, and I'm going to read it. It was Friday morning. It was 10:15. And it said, "Good morning, Pastor. It looks like the Steelers made history." And he said, "Have a blessed day." And I looked and he sent an article, and the Steelers had, they were the first team ever with a winning record to lose to two teams that had lost 8 more games than they had won. And I lit up and I was like, "Thank you, Pastor. I had not thought about that today." So send someone a text about how bad the Steelers are. You don't know what it will do for their day. I did appreciate the text, though. It did say, "Have a blessed day." But I did. I smiled immediately. And I thought, that is a selfless man right there. That is a selfless man. Sorry, Rick, Dante, Caleb. Genesis chapter 14 is where we'll start today. And as you're turning there, Genesis 14, we'll start in verse 18. Abraham is on his way back, or Abram is on his way back from helping Lot, and he encounters a man. And it says in verse 18, Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And it says, you don't hear a lot about this man, but if you go to Hebrews, which we're not going to do today, but in Hebrews 7:4, it says the king of Salem, the king of peace. But this man, this priest, he brought forth bread and wine, because he was the priest of the Most High God. He was the high priest for God. And he came to Abram, and he blessed him. And he said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." What does it say that God possesses, the Most High God? Heaven and earth. So he realized exactly who God was and what he had. What did you say, Rhonda? That Jesus was in charge of what? All things, everything, right? God is the possessor of heaven and earth. So this is in Genesis, in the very beginning, and these are Moses' words, but he says, possessor of heaven and earth, all things. Let's look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're going to see what David says about God. So what's going on here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29? They're gathering up all the things they need to build the temple for God. And it goes through a great list of things that they've got. They've got gold. They have silver. They have brass. They have iron. They have wood. They have onyx stones. They have glistering stones. All precious stones and marble. It says that they have 7,000 talents of silver. 3,000 talents of gold. I mean, they have everything that the people have willingly given to build the temple of God. And they've gathered all this, and this is what David has to say. It says, the people rejoiced because they offered willingly. Because with a perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. And it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted, head above all. He says, both riches and honor come of you. He says, of you. And you reign over all that's in your hand. In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. He says, now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Now as we read verse 14, this is all the things that the people have given. They've collected this great treasure. And look what David says about it. They could have come and said, look at what we've done for God. Look at how much we've given. We've given this to you. Look what David says. He says, but who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? And look what he says. He said, for all things come of you and of your own. We've just given it back. All the stuff we've given you is yours. We haven't made any of this stuff. We haven't gotten any of this gain on our own. Everything that we're giving you was already yours. That's the heart we should give with. God, it's already yours. It's yours. Thank you for blessing me. We're going to give it back to you, but it's yours. Know that you're not giving to God out of your gain. You're giving to God out of what He's blessed you with. That's what He says. He says, it's yours already. He says, we're strangers before you, sojourners, as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth, they're just a shadow. And we have no expectation. But he says, oh, Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name comes of your hand. And it's all yours anyway. That's how we give. That's how we know. It's already His. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the creator of all things. Psalm chapter 50. A psalm of Asaph. And it starts out, which I didn't give Rick in verse 1, but he says, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken. And he's speaking. This is what the Lord has to say. And we'll start in verse 10. But he says, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills is mine. He said, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God does not come to us with what He needs to be sustained. He owns everything. He has everything. He possesses all things. And He lets us use it. And these are all in the Old Testament, so let's look in the New Testament, see if anything changed. Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul is at Mars Hill. He walked by an idol or a statue, an altar that had an inscription to the unknown God. And the Apostle Paul is going to let him know who God is. So let me clear this up for you. In verse 24, Paul says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. I guess nothing changed. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he's the one that gives to all life and breath and all things. I think Dee said that this morning. He gives to all everything. He's made and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we what? We live, we move, we have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We cannot wake up. We cannot make the wake-up list, right? We cannot breathe. We cannot move without him. It's all from him. Everything. Romans chapter 11. We're just going to read the last three verses. It's a praise. Verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past our finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? Any of you given advice to the Lord? Who is first given to him, and it shall be recompensed, repaid unto him again? For of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. In Genesis, Moses said, he's the possessor of heaven and earth. In 1 Chronicles, David said, all things come of you. They're yours anyway, you've given them to us. In Psalm 50, Asaph said, the world is yours and the fullness thereof. In Acts, Paul told the men on Mars, oh, God made the world and all things. He doesn't need anything. And in Romans 11, again, everything is through him, for him, to him. He is it. So the title of this sermon is The God with Everything Has Kept Nothing Good From You. The God that possesses all things, and he's kept nothing back from his children. Nothing good that we need is he kept from us. We have access to him. We have access to his word. He's given us everything that we need. Sometimes we ask for things that he says no because it would be the equivalent of us handing a toddler a knife. He knows, and he's not going to give us bad things. He's going to give us good things. What does James 1:17 say? I think it tells us where all good things and all perfect gifts come from.
It does. Rick was like, just say it.
Every good, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good is from God. Everything perfect is from God. You've not done it. You've not earned it. God gave it to you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So what was the first gift that he gave us? Let's look at Ephesians 2. Dee prayed this morning. Maybe next week she'll preach. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you, me, you have he quickened as we were dead. We were dead and on our way to hell. Period. Every one of us was dead and on our way to hell. But he quickened us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We were the children of wrath. We were on our way to hell. And then two of my favorite words in the whole Bible. But God. Oh, goodness gracious. But God. Right, Lisa? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, He loved you. He loved us so much that while we were dying and going to hell and deserved nothing, but His mercy, His great love with which He loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ, by whose grace we're saved. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think Pastor Jerry could preach a whole series on being seated in heavenly places. That's right. Oh, that's right. That's where God placed us. He took us from a road to hell and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. Because it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And that not of anything that we could do, you cannot earn salvation. It's a gift. This Christmas season, we have the gift of salvation. Each and every day, we have the gift. It was free because none of us could afford it. We couldn't have saved enough money. We couldn't have done enough good. It's a free gift. Not of works, lest that any man should boast. So when we tell people what Jesus has done for us, make sure it starts with Jesus. I didn't get saved because of me. I got saved because God called me. Jesus died on the cross. It's all about Him. There was nothing we could do. There's nothing we'll ever do to be worthy of what was given us for free. He's kept nothing good from us. John 3:16, one of the most popular verses. What's it say? For God so loved us, so loved the whole world, that He what? That He gave. He gave. Don't forget that it was given, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Given us everything. Everlasting life. Jesus did all the work. Beaten, mocked, and died so that we who were headed to hell could have eternity in heaven. What else? That's it. There's nothing else. But He keeps giving and giving. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him, Him being Jesus, to be sin for me. He made Him to be sin for anyone and everyone that would accept Him. He made Him sin, the one that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're clothed in righteousness. God sees Jesus when He looks at His children. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think about that so often, that when He looks at me, He doesn't see what I've done. He sees who's in me. I'm clothed in a white robe of righteousness because of Christ. Praise God. So what else would He give us after He gave us that? What says in Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Romans 8:32, He says, He, who is God, that spared not His own Son. Didn't you just sing about that? D.D. left the church. She left her seat anyway. But she sang, what father gave their son for you? Just one. Just one. But it says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He could have just given us salvation and said good luck, but He didn't stop. He continues to give us all things, all good things, all things that we need, He gives us. Once He gave Jesus, and then He just continues to give. Ephesians 1 verse 3, the Apostle Paul, as he's opening the letter to the Ephesians, and he says, you know, I'm Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he goes on to say to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to all the believers, to the church here. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. But look what he says. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a couple spiritual blessings. All. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You have everything. We have everything. Once we've accepted Christ, He continues to pour out into us. What's it say in 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 3? Do we have some things for this life? He says, according as His divine power, He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. What are you lacking? You're not lacking anything. You may not be using everything you've been given, but you're not lacking them. He's given us all things that we need. You know, I cannot stress to you enough that He's given us His Word. Every single thing that He wanted us to know is in a book that you have. Open it. Read it. Because he was like, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, and I'm going to put it in a book. And we're like, well, I don't really have time for that book. You don't have time for anything else. It is the single most important thing that you can read. It is alive, and you have access to it now. Take advantage of it as long as you have access to it. He wrote this book to us and for us. It's the same thing with prayer. You know, He says, pray without ceasing. After Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn, and now you have 24/7 access to God, to the throne. Are you talking to God? If you're not, it's on your end. Because you're not put on hold. You don't need a Wi-Fi connection. There's no long distance. You wake up at any time, anywhere that you are, you have free access to speak to God Almighty. Amen. Speak to Him. Read His book. He's given us everything. He wrote it down, and then He said, you know what, just talk to me. Come to me. If you're not praying and reading, start now. It's a gift. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's all His. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness is overpowered. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to be a witness, to bear witness of this light, that all men through him might believe. Now he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. What king leaves his throne? This one. Only one. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as that did receive Him, to them He continued to give. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's been forevermore. He'll never cease to exist. He left His throne for us. He lived on this earth. He died for us. He's given us everything. He had everything. He was in glory and He left so that we, so that I, so that you could be saved and spend eternity with Him. And He keeps giving and He keeps giving. We're in John. Jump over to John 14 and jump down to verse 26. Jesus is speaking here. And He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, is going to teach you all things. And He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you." And in verse 27, He says, "Peace, I'm going to leave it with you. My peace, I'm just going to give it to you." Again, He's giving and giving. You have peace. He's given us peace. He left it here. He's given it to us. Not as the world gives. He says, "Give it I unto you. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God has left and given us His peace. He has placed the Comforter, the Holy Ghost within us. Who is this Holy Ghost? What is His power? It's Romans 8:11. The Spirit, this Holy Ghost, is the same one that raised up Jesus from the dead. It dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. You cannot possibly walk around defeated knowing that the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you. Amen. It's in you and always. He gave it to you. We accept His free gift and He fills us with the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He made a terrible deal. We got the way better end of this bargain. I will take that deal every time. He did everything and gave everything. Acts 1:8. He told them that when the Spirit came into them, that they would receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will have power and you'll be witnesses. We're witnesses. We should be witnessing every chance we get because we have the Spirit that raised Jesus in us. So that God, with absolutely everything that owns heaven and earth, He's kept nothing good from us. And this is awesome. So what can we do? What can we give? You say, "I don't have much to give." Okay. I don't know what I have. Just give it. Just give it. He'll take what you have. He'll take you as you are, and then He'll do the work. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It says, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and He beheld how the people were coming, casting their money into the treasury. They were giving their offering. And many that were rich, I mean, they put in a bunch. I mean, they gave hundreds, thousands, whatever. I mean, they gave so much. And then there came a certain poor widow. And she threw in two mites. I mean, it was next to nothing. And Jesus said, "If you're only going to give a little, don't give." Right? He said, "That's not enough. You need to go get a second job so that you can give." Right? No. He called His disciples. And He said, "Verily I say unto you, this poor widow, she's given more. She's given more than all they which have given today." He said, "They cast in out of their abundance, but she, of her want, she cast in all that she had, even all her living." Give everything you have to Him. I'm not telling you to go empty your bank accounts. I'm not on the payroll, so I'm not telling you to do that. Give all that you have. It's not just money. It's what you have. It's your talents. It's your witness. It's your love, it's your obedience. Give all that you have. Give it back to Him. Because He's the one that's given it to you. He doesn't need money. He's not, there's no recession. Remember, His streets are paved with gold. He's not looking for a bunch. He's looking for all that you have. All that you have. Jump back to Mark 6, verse 34. We hear this story all the time. I love it. Jesus came out and He saw a huge group of people and He was moved with compassion because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came and they said, "This is a desert. It's getting late." They said, "Send them away that they can go and get something to eat. They're going to starve. We have nothing to eat." And Jesus in verse 37 said, "Give ye them to eat." And they go, "Well, what do you want us to do? Go buy tons of food?" And He said, "Well, what do you have? How many loaves have you? Go check." And they go and they find this young man. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus commanded them all to sit down on the grass. They sat down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And Jesus looked at the young man and He said, "Did you not know how many people were coming? I need more than this. This is insufficient. You shouldn't bring unless you have enough for the whole class." Right? You can't just sit. What? I can't even feed these disciples with this. Right? No, He said, "This is what... perfect. This is perfect. This is just what I needed. Perfect. This is what you have. This is what I'm going to use." He took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes. He looked up to heaven. And He prayed. He blessed it. He gave thanks. He broke the loaves. He gave them to His disciples. And He set them before Him. The 2 fish He divided among everyone. And it says they did all eat and were filled. They were full. And then they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And they that did eat of the loaves were 5,000 men plus women and children. He didn't ever say, "You didn't bring enough." He says, "Give me what you have and watch me multiply it. Give me what you have and watch me multiply it." Stop thinking what you have isn't enough. That you're saying that He can't do it. You can't do it with that much, but He can. It's more than enough. It will never not be enough if you give Him all that you have. He's excellent at math. He multiplies and He multiplies and then there's excess. Give God everything that you have and watch Him multiply it. And that does include our money and our tithes. We are supposed to give. Malachi 3:10, we all know this. He says, "Bring all your tithes into the storehouse." Absolutely. We are to give back to Him what He has given us. "That there may be meat in my house." But He says, "And then prove me." We give Him 10% of what He's blessed us with. And then He says, "Test me and see if I will not open out the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't be room enough for you to have." You've given Him back 10% of what He's blessed you with and He will multiply it. And He will give you more than we can ever imagine. And it's not only about money, it's about all that we have. Luke 6:38. What's that say? It says, "Give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for all men given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you made withal, it shall be measured to you again." And this goes with everything. Do you need forgiveness? Start forgiving people. Do you need mercy? Start being merciful to people. What do you need? Give it. He's a multiplier. He wants you to be faithful and to give it to Him, and then He'll do the work. He says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. He says, the merciful will be what? Given mercy. Give it, and He'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. What do you need? Give it to God. And what else does He want from us? Well, He wants He wants to give us other stuff, and He wants us to give Him other stuff. Matthew chapter 11, and I am closing. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You're having a hard time, it's too much for you. Bring it to me, and I'm going to give you rest. I want to give you rest." And then He says, "Here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble. And then you'll find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come! What are you waiting for? Is there something that's on you that you, it's too... Take it to Him! He wants it! He'll give you rest!" And we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 5. Don't be too proud to come to God. Don't think that you can do it on your own. You can't. Don't think that it's too much. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you when it's time. You humble yourselves, and He will exalt. And what does He want from you in verse 7? He wants you to cast all your cares upon Him. He's real needy. He wants your burdens. He wants your cares. Gosh, Jesus, you want everything. Yes, He does. He wants all the bad stuff that you're carrying around. He can take it. It's nothing. Cast your cares upon Him. The God that has everything has kept nothing good from you. And He wants everything that you have. He wants your stress. He wants your worry. He wants your anxiety. He wants your family so He can bless it and multiply it. Quit holding on to it. Give it to Him. Because He's given you everything. Heavenly Father, You truly have given us everything. Lord, You gave us Your Son. Oh Lord, in this Christmas season, let us focus on that. Jesus left His throne. Jesus left heaven that He could come to save a dying world. To save us from our sins. To change our path from hell to heaven. If we would just accept the free gift of salvation. Oh Lord, we thank You for what You've done. We thank You that You've done the work. That You died on the cross and You rose again. That You sit on the right hand making intercession for us. Lord, we thank You that You're coming again. And we thank You that You've given us everything in this life and on this earth that we need. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, we thank You for Your peace. We thank You for Your joy. We thank You for Your forgiveness. God, You truly have given us all things that we need and way more than we deserve. God, let us not forget that it's all about You. Today, tomorrow, and forever. And Lord, let us just lean in and give us the strength to give You what You've asked of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.